rahmatullah alayh asked the attendant of Hazrat Shibli rahmatullah alayh that what did you observe at the time when Hazrat Shibli rahmatullah alayh passed away. He replied that Hazrat Shibli said, I had oppressed a person with regard to one dirham. I have already given several thousands of dirhams as charity on his behalf, yet the swelling of that burden is still on my heart. Then he said, help me perform wudu. I helped him perform wudu, but I forgot to make khilal of his beard. In other words, I forgot to pass my wet hands through his beard. He could not do it himself because of extreme weakness. Because he could not utter any word, he caught my hand and passed it through his beard, and then he passed away. Hearing this, Jafar rahmatullahi started crying by saying that what could be said of such a person who even in that condition upholds the etiquette of the Sharia and does not allow himself to discard even a mustahab voluntary act. A pious person was about to pass away. His wife began crying. He inquired, why are you crying? She replied, I am crying because of your separation. He said, cry upon your own self. I have been crying in desire and longing for this day to meet my Creator for the past 42 years. Someone asked Hazrat Qattani rahmatullahi alayhi about his regular practices before he passed away. He replied, if the end of my life was not near, I would not have disclosed this secret. I protected the door of my heart for 40 years. When anything besides Allah Ta'ala tried to enter my heart, I closed the door. Hazrat Mu'tamir rahmatullahi alayhi says, I was present at the side of Hakam, a wealthy person, but at the same time pious, at the time of his death. I made dua to Allah Ta'ala to ease the severity of death upon him because he possessed good qualities. I enumerated all his good qualities. Hakam was unconscious. When he came into the state of consciousness, he asked, who is saying such and such a thing? Mu'tamir replied, I. Hakam said that the angel of death is saying, I treat every generous person kindly. Saying this, Hakam passed away. A pious person was sitting at the side of Hazrat Mumshad Dinwari rahmatullahi at the time of his death. The pious person was making dua for his entry into Jannah. Hazrat Mumshad rahmatullahi smiled and he said, for 30 years, Jannah together with all his beauty presented itself before me. I never looked at it even once fully because my desire is only to meet the owner of Jannah, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From these few anecdotes also, we realize the importance of preparation for death, preparing for death. The famous story in Surah Al-Kahf, where Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's journey with Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam, also sometimes pronounced Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. Certain events took place on the journey, which Musa alayhi salatu wasalam found very strange. He could not help but objecting. And Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam warned Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam not to raise any objection. So the first time Musa alayhi salam raised some objection, Hazrat Khizr overlooked it. The second time also he forgave him. The third time was the last straw. What occurred the third time, when they entered a certain town, there was a wall that was about to collapse. It was leaning onto one side. Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam was given what is known as ilm takwini. In other words, affairs that normally are assigned to malaika, to farishtas, these type of affairs with regard to matters of the universe were given to Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam. When they entered the city, they were very hungry. The people of the city did not entertain them, did not give them food and drink. But in spite of that, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, when he saw this wall about to collapse, he had superhuman strength. Single-handedly, he erected that wall, put it straight, and repaired the wall. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam objected, these people did not even give us food and drink, and yet you are doing this kind favor towards them. So this was the last straw. Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, Hada firaku baini wa bainik. Now you'll have to part ways. But before they parted, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to know the reason, the wisdom behind all these events that took place, that transpired. So with regard to this event, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam explained, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ. That this wall belonged to two orphan boys whose father had passed away. He was a pious father. Before he passed away, he buried some valuable treasure that these two boys can derive benefit from when they come of age. So this, they were still very young. If the wall had to collapse and the treasure was exposed to the public, it would have got stolen. So for that reason, he put the wall upright so that the treasure can be protected. Ulama have written that in the treasure there was a plaque, a metal plate made of gold. On that were inscribed certain words of wisdom. One sentence on that plaque was this, that I am astonished at that person who knows that death is inevitable, yet he does not prepare for death. So very, very important to prepare for death. And where do we prepare for death? In this world, in this life. This is known as Darul Amal, the place where we do actions and deposit for the Akhirat. The day we die, we enter the Darul Jaza, another realm where now good deeds will not benefit us. In that realm, that is a place where payment takes place. We are either rewarded in the Qabr too, with comfort and solace, or punishment is meted out to people in the Qabr. So that is known as the Darul Jaza. The place to accumulate good deeds, a sensible person, while he has life in this world, he should accumulate as much righteous deeds as possible and send it forward to the Akhirat. So in this Darul Jaza, good deeds, even if a person is given the opportunity to carry them out, it will not benefit him, it will not accrue reward for him. There is an incident written where a person was blessed with the gift of Kashfe Qubur. He was passing by a certain cemetery and he heard the sound coming out from a certain qabr, the sound of tilawat of the Quran. So he was quite surprised. He was walking past making tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, and all of a sudden he heard the sound of the Quran being recited from a certain grave. He went close to that grave and then he communicated with the person in the grave. The person in the grave said to him that I was in this world hafiz al Quran. When I got into the qabr, I asked Allah Ta'ala permission to continue reciting the Qur'an. And then he explained that the time that I have spent in this qabr, in this duration of time, I have made 70,000 khatams of the Qur'an. But he said, in spite of these khatams, I am prepared to trade these 70,000 khatams for your one subhanallah. Because you are still in the Darul Alam, Darul Amal, your subhanallah is still valuable. Your subhanallah will plant a tree for you in Jannat. Your subhanallah, subhanallah, tamla'ul mizan will fill the pan of good deeds. Subhanallah walhamdulillah, tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. Subhanallah and alhamdulillah, if the reward of that was given a physical form, it would fill the space between the heavens and the earth. So your one subhanallah is more valuable than my 70,000 khatams. I am merely making these khatams to pass my time. I get no reward, no benefit for this. You are still getting benefit. So this is at Darul Amal. While Allah Ta'ala has given us life to prepare for our death and to deposit for the Akhirat as much good amal, as much righteous deeds as possible, that is what a sensible person should do. The day a person passes away, his own amal terminate. He cannot do any such action that will accrue profit for him, benefit for him. However, there are certain amal before passing away a person can do, and after he dies also he can accrue reward by virtue of those deeds. This is mentioned in one hadith of Rasul Karim Sahasam, إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنُ آدَمْ إِنْ قَتَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا عَنْ ثَلَاثْ صَدَقَةٌ جَارِيَةٌ وَعِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ وَوَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ. When a person dies, then his amal terminate with the exception of three actions, that even if he dies, after he dies, he still accrues benefit, profit, reward in his book of deeds. What are these three actions? One is sadaqatun jariyatun, a perpetual form of charity. What does this mean? A person is lifetime, perhaps in a place where there is scarcity of water. What is money? He has a borehole dug there, he has a well dug there. So even if he leaves the world, as long as people will continue to drink water from that borehole, from that well, as long as people will continue to make wudu from the water of that well, he will continue to get reward. His account will be credited, his account will be debited with reward and perpetual reward. He will continue to earn reward. So this is the first action. Or for example, sadaqatun jariyatun could also mean a person builds a madrasa, he puts up a masjid, and he passes away. Until people study in that madrasa, until musallis perform salah in that masjid, he is sitting in his grave, but all the time is accruing reward and benefit. The second action, ilmun yuntafa'u bihi, that a person taught someone some matter of deen, ilme deen, or he wrote a book with regard to some aspect of deen. So the person, the people that he taught, they in turn will teach others, they in turn will teach others, the cycle will continue. So this person, the initial teacher, has reached the qabr, yet by virtue of leaving behind students whom he taught, they are teaching others, he continues to accrue reward. Or if he wrote a book, beneficial book, people read that book and benefit, then he will continue to get the reward. This is ilmun yuntafa'u bih. And the third aspect, which I wish to emphasize on tonight, waladun salihun yad'u lahu. The importance of proper Islamic upbringing. This hadith says, if a person brought one's children up in an Islamic environment, taught them proper morals, ethics, brought them up with Islamic morals, then that child will continue to make dua for his parents. The parents have left the world in the qabr, but the du'as they will make, those du'as will continue to benefit the parents, even in that alam and barzakh, even in that realm between the world and the akhirat. So this is the third aspect. This is very, very important. The other day I mentioned, Mufti Shafi Sahab, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahab Rahmatullahi explains that when his father, Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahab Rahmatullahi, was in the throes of death, he called his son and said to him, that, oh Muhammad Shafi, he said to him, dunya wale to sab bhool jate hain, lekin tum bhoolne mein jaldi mat karna. That people tend to forget their parents, their dear and beloved ones when they leave the world. Perhaps you will also forget, but do not be hasty, do not too quickly forget me. I have educated you, you are hafiz of the Quran, recite Quran, convey the reward to me. So this was proper upbringing. That is why Mufti Shafi Sahab says, that for the next 40 years, I never forgot these words of my father, and I continue to convey Isale Thawab to him. So if we bring up our children with an Islamic ethos and Islamic morals, Islamic norms and values, that will benefit the parents even after they leave the world. Today, unfortunately, children do not value their parents. It is a sad state of affairs. The children tend to be rude to their parents, children tend to insult their parents, tend to be disrespectful to their parents, whereas it comes in the hadith that most sins, Allah Ta'ala postpones the punishment for the akhirat. But there are certain sins where Allah Ta'ala punishes the person before he leaves the world. Amongst those sins is disobedience to parents, disrespect to parents, being rude to parents. Allah Ta'ala will mete out the punishment in this world. A certain incident is mentioned where a certain young man, he was blessed with children, little children. He said to the children, they tie a leash around your grandfather. In other words, his own father. He told the children, tie a leash around his neck and drag him to the outskirts of the town to the garbage dump. So children, after all children, they thought it is a little game. They pulled the grandfather to the garbage dump, and because they were children, they wanted to pull him even further. But then he protested, he said to them, that this is enough. Because when I was a young man, I told my children to drag their grandfather and only up to this point, up to the garbage dump. So Allah Ta'ala is paying me back. I'm getting a taste of my own medicine. What I did to my father is now being done to me today. So Allah Ta'ala meets out punishment in this very world for disrespect and disobedience to parents. If we study the hadith, walk down the corridors of history, we will find many exemplary people that were very respectful and that served their parents and thereby earned their jannat. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a young sahabi whose father was crippled. So he used to carry his father on his back and bring him to the masjid to perform salah with jamaat. After some time, Nabi Akram some noticed that the young man and his father are no longer coming to the masjid. Nabi Sallallahu made inquiries. It was said to him that this young man had passed away. So Nabi Sallallahu made a remark that if Allah Ta'ala had ever ordained for someone to live past his prescribed time, then this man would perhaps have lived, but because Allah Ta'ala has prescribed time for death, he died on his time. Allah had destined that, whereas this man was such a man that if Allah Ta'ala had to ordain for someone to live past his prescribed time, Allah would have made this young man live so that he could continue to serve his father in this manner. There was a buzuk by the name of Fadal bin Yahya rahmatullahi. He was of great service to his father. We have to take lessons from these stories and serve our parents in a similar manner. Those of us who are fortunate to still have our parents living, those parents are either our Jannat or our Jahannam. If we serve them, they can become the source of our Jannat. Otherwise, they will take us in the other direction towards Jahannam. So Fadal bin Yahya rahmatullahi, when his father became old and frail, it was a very bitter cold winter's night. His father fell asleep. He knew that his father gets up early for tahajjud, for fajr salah. It was a bitterly cold night and the water was very, very cold. It would have been difficult for his father to make wudu with that water. So he put that water in a container and there was a lamp burning in the house and he placed that container of water above the flame. For the entire night he stood without sleeping a wink, just so that the water can become a little warm, even lukewarm, sufficient for the father to make wudu comfortably. So this was a khidmat he rendered to his father. Brings to mind the incident of recent times when Hazrat Shaykh ul Hind Maulana Mahmud ul Hasan Sahib Gangoi, Hazrat Mahmud ul Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahmatullahi, Shaykh ul Hind Rahmatullahi, was imprisoned by the British regime on the island of Malta. Then as a Shaykh al-Islam, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi, he was not served a prison sentence, but he thought, just to serve my old and frail ustaz, as a Shaykh al-Hind was the ustaz, let me voluntarily also go into the cell with him. So he went into jail with his ustaz. One very bitterly cold night, when as a Shaykh al-Hind fell asleep, as a Shaykh al-Islam perceived that the water that was contained in a container was very, very cold. It was freezing. So in order to serve his ustaz during the night, he took that leather container and he placed it on his chest. The whole night he slept, even though it was discomfort to him, but the warmth of the body provided a little amount of warmth to the water. The water became warm enough for his ustaz to be able to make wuzu comfortably in the morning. So in this way, people serve the asatidah, people serve their parents too. There is an incident of a certain old man when he reached old age and he became critically ill. He had three sons. So the elder son said to his younger brothers that let our father's estate be of benefit to you, good luck to you people. I do not require the estate or the money from our father's inheritance. All I wish to do is to serve our father and earn Jannat. So they readily agreed. They were people of the dunya. They said, okay, we'll get all the inheritance. You can serve our father how you want to. So he served his father. He forewent and sacrificed all that worldly inheritance that he would have received. He relinquished that because he got the opportunity to serve his father, make his khidmat. The result was that after his father passed away, when he tended to the burial arrangements, at night when he fell asleep, he saw in a dream someone telling him that go to a certain place on the outskirts of the town, beneath a certain rock, you will find one dinar. Use that dinar. So he saw the dream, but he ignored the dream. The second night he saw the same dream, he ignored it. The third night he saw the same dream. This time he went out, he ventured forth, and he found this one dinar beneath the rock. One gold coin. He was returning with a gold coin. He passed the marketplace. He thought to himself, let me purchase a fish for supper, to cook for supper. So he bought a fish. When he came home and the fish was cut open, with the will of Allah, two precious pearls came out of the stomach of that fish, and so valuable were these pearls that he sold the two pearls for 60,000 dinars. He bought the fish for 1 dinar, he sold it for 60,000 dinars, which was sufficient for his livelihood throughout the rest of his life. That night when he went to sleep, a caller from the unseen was telling him that because of the service you rendered to your father, Allah Ta'ala gave you the payment in this world. You have seen the return for that in this world already. That is the result of serving one's parents. One's parents are so valuable that we cannot even begin to imagine what the value of our parents is. In the time of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, a certain man was serving his old and aged mother, serving her. Then he came to Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and explained how he was being of service to his mother. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala knew a bit of the background of this young man and knew that you are not sincere in showing service to his mother. Maybe it was just a window display. But he came to Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and said to him that I looked after my mother and cared for her in old age just as she used to care for me in infancy. So have I fulfilled the rights of my mother? Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu said to him that you have not fulfilled the right of your mother. And then elaborated that the reason when your mother is to care for you in infancy, when you used to become ill, she is to pray and hope and stay awake for the entire night caring for you to make you survive, to keep you alive. That was her motive. Today you are serving your mother, but you are wishing that when she kicks the bucket, when she leaves the world, when you can be relieved of the burden. Like we say in our parlance, that when will the old Tani go and kick the bucket so that you can be relieved of the burden? When will the old Topi go? This is our stance and our attitude, that we do not serve the parents in order to get the du'as for the pleasure of Allah, but just window display so people can say he served his parents, and just so that the person can see when he can relieve himself of the burden, when this burden can go off his shoulders. He is not doing it to earn the pleasure of Allah, to earn Jannat, except for a few people who are sincere. Generally, this is not the case. In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of Hajjatul Wada, a man came from Yemen, all the way from Yemen, several hundred miles away, to perform Hajj. And his mother was old and frail, he carried her upon his back and brought her to allow her to perform Hajj. He explained to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is a sacrifice I made. I carried my mother upon my back and brought her to the Haram so that she can perform a Hajj. You tell me, O Rasul of Allah, have I fulfilled the rights of my mother? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that, listen young man, in spite of all the difficulties you endured coming all the way from Yemen, yet you have not fulfilled even one drop of breast milk that your mother fed you. You have not fulfilled the right of even one drop of milk. Such is the value of our parents, but we fail to appreciate today. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned that among the signs of Qiyamah, one sign is that people will swear at their parents. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum could not believe this. Is it possible that those parents who were the means of you coming into the world, are you going to swear your parents? So they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is this possible? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi explained that indirectly it can happen. For example, you swear someone else's parents, in retaliation he in turn swears your parents. So because you became the means of your parents being sworn at, it is as if you have sworn your own parents. So this was the case, the explanation to the Sahaba. I think today the Sahaba would turn in their graves if they know the condition today that children directly swear their parents. They are directly abusive to their parents, directly rude to their parents. We can well imagine the condition of such children. Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat, Allah Ta'ala save us. Today the condition is a young man gets married, and because he has a career, successful career, he earns a lot of money, he builds a beautiful mansion, and then he feels that if I bring my parents to live with me, he feels that he is doing his parents a favor. There were certain cases where the son had a very successful career, he brought the parents into the home, and the parents were virtually under house arrest. They were told to live in a certain room in the corner of the house, And then the son still has the temerity and the courage to tell his parents that as far as domestic matters are concerned, my wife runs the show, she calls the shots, it is her domain, you cannot make a single suggestion. So living under this roof as if under house arrest. Such a son should realize and understand that this beautiful mansion that you have built, this career that you have, the successful career, who was the cause and the means of this career? When you were young, who dressed you and sent you to school? Who prepared your lunch? Who paid for your education? It was your own parents that paid for your education, yet you show such ungratefulness that today you say, it is my wife's domain, she calls the shots, and the mother has no right to speak in the house. This is the condition of our children, our young people today, which is something unfortunate that we have to cry, perhaps tears of blood. There is a friend of mine that bought a beautiful house, and he brought his parents in. Parents were living in a rented cottage. He brought them to live with him in his home. One of my ustaz came from India, and this friend of mine said to our ustaz that, Hazrat, make dua, I have purchased this house, and I brought my parents to live with me. So our ustaz taught him a very valuable lesson, that even though you paid for this house, you purchased this house, do not say that you brought your parents to live with you, say that you have begun to live with your parents. The hadith says, أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ لِوَالِدِكَ. You and your wealth belong to your parents because your parents were instrumental for you reaching this level and educating you and earning so much to have purchased this house. Rather say that you have moved with your parents to live with them instead of saying that you have brought your parents to live with you. They were instrumental for you to reach this level. This is a way to show respect to parents. And one hadith warns that a time will come, and we see this time already occurring before our very eyes, that a time will come when a young man will walk through the streets with his old aged father, and his friends will look at him and they will tell him that who is this old buddy walking with you? He will even feel embarrassed to disclose that this is my father. He will say, it is just some old buddy, old man that happened to tag along with me. He will be embarrassed to say that even that this is my father. And we see this condition happening today, unfortunately. There was one incident that I heard in a bayan from a certain alim, I think I read it somewhere also, where we find the condition today that there are certain young men, when they get married, they give preference to their wives over their mothers. That mother that stayed awake nights on end in order to care for the child, that mother sacrificed, went through the pangs of labor, went through the period of breastfeeding. Young man tends to forget all this. So much so that when the wife tells him to run an errand, he has that ya baas attitude, that immediately I will do it to please my wife. But if the mother tells him to run an errand, he has 100 excuses before he runs that errand. In this way we give preference to our wives over our mothers. So in this incident, look at this wretched young man. When he got married, as some wives tend to become jealous of their mothers-in-law, that why does my husband pay so much attention to his mother? So she became jealous. And one day she said to her husband, they tell me, do you love me more or your mother more? The wretched soul said that I love you more than my mother. So she still went on to say, prove it. How to prove it? Go out and kill your mother in cold blood. So he went out and killed his mother, and she said, to prove it, gouge out her heart and bring the heart along. So he gouged out the heart from the body, brought it into a little box. He was returning through the dark night of the jungle to his wife to show his so-called trophy to prove that he had killed his mother. And as he walked through the dark night, he stumbled and he fell. When he fell, he heard his mother's voice from that little box saying, oh my son, are you hurt? You have fallen. Have you hurt yourself? This is the love of a mother. Even that realm of that world of spirits, she was informed that the son had hurt himself, and she was concerned about the son. But now it was too late for him. If he had to cry tears, he would cry now tears of blood. It was too late to regret. One cannot cry over spilt milk. In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a certain young sahabi by the name of Alqama, he became critically ill. His wife sent a message to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Nabi of Allah, my husband is about to leave the world, what should I do? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a few sahaba to the home of this young man Alqama, He sent Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he sent Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala, he sent Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala. They go to the young man's bedside, stand by his bedside and make talqeen. In other words, recite the kalima so that he can be encouraged to read the kalima before he leaves the world. They went there and try as they might. They read the kalima. This man, every day was punctual with his salah. He used to give a lot of charity. He used to do good towards the community. Yet when this sahaba began to recite the kalima, try as he might, the kalima would not come out of his lips. He became tongue-tied. So this sahaba were perplexed. They returned to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, reported back to him. Nabi Karim Sallallahu inquired, that find out from the family, is this young man's parents living still, are his parents living? Inquiries were made, and he was told that the father has passed away, but he has an old and aged mother. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a message to the mother, that if you are able to come to me, then come to me. I wish to ask you a few questions. If you are too old and frail to come, I will come to you. So obviously they had respect for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said, oh Nabi of Allah, I will come personally. Although she could not walk straight with the help of a walking stick, bent back, she walked to the home of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu asked her, that tell me what was the problem between you and your son. Perhaps there is a reason, some problem between the two of you, that your son is unable to recite the kalima. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to her, be totally honest. Do not conceal anything, because if you will conceal by way of wahi, Allah will inform me. So then she divulged, she said, my son got married, and since he got married, he gives preference to his wife over his mother. In many important matters, he gives preference to his wife over his mother. That is why I am unhappy with him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put two and two together, and he said, this is the reason why he became tongue-tied, because his mother was unhappy with him, he could not even articulate the kalima. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, obviously Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had fikr for the entire ummah, that a person should die with the kalima. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the sahaba, that gather for me a whole lot of wood. Wood was gathered, and he instructed them to light the wood. The mother became astonished, and she said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why are you instructing the people to light a fire? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to her, Ya Umma Al-Qamata, Azabullahi Ashaddu Abqa. That, O mother of Al-Qamah, the azab of the akhirat is more severe. Rather, let your son be punished in this world for his rudeness to you, for his disobedience to you, than being punished in the akhirat. A mother is after all a mother. Although she was hurt, she said, I cannot tolerate my son being burnt in the fire. O Nabi of Allah, you bear witness, I have forgiven my son. No sooner had she forgiven him that he was able to recite the kalima. He read the kalima and left the world. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to bury this young sahabi Al-Qamah radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu addressed the gathering and said to them, that listen, this is very important. The consequence of giving preference to one's wife over one's mother is such that a person that has this attitude towards his mother, Allah Ta'ala curses such a person, the Malaika curse such a person, and the whole of mankind curses such a person. Do not give preference to your wife over your mother, especially when matters of importance are concerned. When the mother needs khidmat, she needs service, and you say, I'm too busy with my wife to attend to you, that is not the attitude. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that your mother is either your daughter to Jannat or your daughter to Jahannam. So in this way, our parents, by obeying them, by respect, being respectful to them, they will become our doors to Jannat, and being disrespectful, unfortunately, they will take us in the other direction. Our deen is very easy, our deen yusrun. The deen is very easy. If perhaps someone has lost their parents, and they were disobedient to their parents, Shariat has provided a solution. Pay a visit to their grave at least once a week. Recite Quran, make istighfar for them. That will also aid in a son being recorded as an obedient child. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Allah give us the tawfiq of valuing our parents. Those of us whose parents are living, those of us whose parents have passed on, Allah Ta'ala fill their qabrs with nur and give us the tawfiq of making abundant istighfar for them, conveying isal-e-thawab for them, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.